Well, last week that was our theme verse, coming into the courts of heaven, into before God's throne, and our entrance was praise and worship, praising God, entering into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And we talked about last week the difference between praise and worship, sort of the general terms and what they meant, and that praise was thanking God for His attributes, His deeds, things He had done for you, His character. And we talked about worship being more of a reverence for Him, bowing down, adoring Him, serving Him, ministering to Him. Worship is our response to who God is. We also talked about the benefits of praise, that it encourages our spirit. It changes the atmosphere of our home for the better. Helps us to stay in faith, because we're speaking out the words of God. And regardless of our circumstances that we're living in or walking in or experiencing each day, we can praise God, and it helps cultivate a thankful and a grateful heart. We are speaking what God says about our situation and not just wallowing in all the misery or the sadness, or, you know, because there is real sadness that we go through at times in our lives. But God wants to be just as close then as he is when we're jumping up and down and praising Him and dancing before Him, and we're excited and our hearts are light. But even when our hearts are heavy, we can still use those same hearts to praise Him, and we're still connected with God during those times. We read praise scriptures from the Psalms, and we went through a number of Psalms, just hearing the things that the psalmists said, the different people that wrote the Psalms. A lot of them were Psalms of David. And we also talked last week about how the Bible says to praise God with our whole heart and to sing to Him. Over 200 times it says to sing to Him. And one of my favorite verses we focused on a lot was John 4:24, where God says that He's looking for worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and truth, because He is a spirit. And of course, we know that God is truth. Jesus is truth. He says He's the way, the truth, and the life. So He's looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. We also talked about instruments. We can use instruments when we sing and praise. We can praise just speaking. We can praise singing. We can praise with instruments. We can praise loudly. We can praise softly. All those things. So I wanted to just review a little bit of what we talked about last week, because I want us to launch off from there. But I want us to look up some scriptures, because we talked about us praising God last week. But I want to talk about who else is praising God. And we talked about creation praising God. We read some of those verses from Psalms that says, you know, all creation, everything that has breath, and the trees and the angels. Well, let's talk about angels. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. It's in the Old Testament. It's right after Ezra, Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Okay, Nehemiah 9:6. And my translation says, "And the multitude of heaven worship you." Does anybody else have something different? The multitude of heaven praise you? Oh, I wish I could give you a page number. I'm sorry. All the Bibles are different. It says here, "Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heaven and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven praise you." The host of heaven are the angels that are there in heaven, and they are worshiping God continually. There are beings that live in heaven that worship God continually. And let's look at Job 38:7. Job is right before Psalms. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Okay, Job 38, verse 7. And God is speaking to Job towards the end of Job, and He is kind of summing up everything that's gone on in through the whole book of Job. And He asks Job, "Were you here when I laid the earth's foundations?" It's in Job 38:4. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstones? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." So what God's saying there is that the angels were present at creation. They were present at creation of the earth, the earth's foundations. They were singing, and they were shouting for joy. They were shouting for joy because of what God had done. the goodness of God. He was creating the earth, the world. So they sang together and they shouted for joy before God's throne. Let's look at Isaiah 6. So after we go Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 4. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Wow. That's a pretty awesome picture of being in God's presence. Above him were seraphs, and seraphs are a certain order of angels. They each had six wings. With two, they covered their faces, two, they covered their feet, and two were flying. They were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. That's an awesome picture of what's going on in heaven as angels are praising him. Well, some things that were pretty exciting happened when Jesus was born. Let's look at Luke 2. Let's move into the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke 2. And we're used to reading this near Christmas time, around Christmas time, the shepherds and the angels. It is really in keeping with what we're talking about right now, about angels praising God in heaven. Luke 2, 8 to 15. What a picture. First of all, there was an angel that appeared. And then, while he was talking, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God. They appeared. It was like the veil was pushed aside and the shepherds could see them with natural eyes. Because first of all, they were so afraid when they saw the first angel. Can you imagine if all the angels had appeared to them first? It was just one angel, and that was pretty terrifying. Because the glory of the Lord shone around them. And he said, don't be afraid. It seems like whenever angels appear to human beings, the first thing they say is don't be afraid, because usually people fall and you know, are terrified because they're so glorious. They come straight from God's throne. They come straight from his presence. And so it's an awesome thing. But when a great company, multitudes of the heavenly host, appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And then they went back into heaven. And the angel and the shepherd said, let's go to Bethlehem and see what's happening. And that was about when Jesus was born. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5. So we've been in the Old Testament, we've been in the New Testament, we're going on to Revelation, the last book of the Bible. There's so many times talks about, Revelation is full of accounts of angels in heaven praising God, also people in heaven praising God. Revelation 5, verses 11 and 12. Again, what a picture. It says here, in a loud voice, they sang, thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang, worthy is the Lamb. So they're singing. And then verse 13, every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth and on the sea also sang, which is incredible to think about that. Praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. It sounds like we were created to worship God, doesn't it? That we were created to have that kind of relationship with him, to praise him. All creatures in heaven and on earth singing before him. The next one is Revelation 7. We just turn the page. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. And then it goes on, continues, and then all the angels and the elders and the four living creatures were around the throne, and they fell face down. And then they said, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And actually, this group of people are from the tribulation. They're the ones, the saints that came out of the great tribulation that's going to be at the end times. But I love that what it says, because you know, Pastor Gigi was just talking about our church here and the flags and the different countries that are represented here. And we are a microcosm, a picture of that. When you look at that, and it says, there was a great multitude that no one could count, even though they can count the number in here. We are just part of that larger group. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus Christ. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches. And they cried out in a loud voice. We're hearing some loud things now. By the time we get to Revelation, everything's pretty loud. It's like, whoa. It's a great prophetic book. It's talking about a lot of things that are still to come. It's pretty exciting as it gets towards the end of time and the end of this age that we're living in now. Well, we talked about angels worshiping him. Well, there is a very powerful angel that also used to worship him who worships him no longer. And he has many names, and we're all very familiar with him. And his name originally, at least one of the common names that's used for him, was Lucifer. Lucifer, it means to be a light bearer or a morning star. The angels are called morning stars. He's also called the devil, Satan, the adversary, the accuser, the prince of this world, the prince of devils, the prince of the power of the air, the serpent, the dragon. He has all these different names, and men, others also. These are just a few. But back at one time, actually before time as we know it, he was in heaven. Lucifer was in heaven, and he was an anointed cherub. And a cherub is a certain order of angels, like the seraphim and cherubim. He was a cherubim. Let's look at Ezekiel 28:13-17. So it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Ezekiel 28. Actually, Michelle, can I borrow your Bible? I think I'm going to read it from the New King James. I wanted to read it in the King James or the New King James because I like this translation. Okay, Ezekiel 28. And let's look at verse 13. Now, first of all, just to give you a little preview here, in verse 12, it says, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. And the king of Tyre was probably a real person, but also, this is also a type of Satan. So we're talking here about Satan, or as he was called at the time, Lucifer. It says, verse 13, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. And then he lists all these different precious stones, and sapphire and turquoise. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. Okay, again, we're talking about Lucifer, or the devil. He was a created being. Verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within. You sinned, and therefore I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. So again, looking back at verse 13, Ezekiel 28:13-17, the thing I wanted to focus on was in verse 13, after it lists all of those precious stones, it says, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. And so this is commonly thought to be that Satan, or Lucifer, I'm going to call him Lucifer at this time, Lucifer had timbrels is another name for tambourines or percussion instruments, and pipes, of course, are wind instruments. That he had wind instruments and percussion instruments as part of his body, and perhaps he was a praise and worship leader in heaven. This is not necessarily really clear, but it's implied here, so which is why I'm sharing it with you. Also, look at another area of the Bible that talks about this. Let's look at Isaiah 14, verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 14, verses 11 and 12. Here it talks about him having string instruments, and this is what it says, Isaiah 14, verse 11. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, which is hell, and the sound of your stringed instruments, we have stringed instruments here, and the maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation. On the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And then God says to him, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And of course, that is what's going to happen to him eventually. But that is another picture of what happened to Lucifer. He was cast out of heaven. He said he had pride in his heart. He rose up and he says, I'm going to be like God. But verse 12 is a significant verse because it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. And verse 11, the sound of your stringed instruments, talks about instruments again. Satan wanted to be like God, and so God had to remove him. And of course, he was cast down to the earth, and now he's the prince of this world. He's the prince of devils. He's the prince of the power of the air. He wants to be like God. So he is not a creator himself. He is a deceiver. He is an imitator. He's a manipulator. He's someone who tries to appear like God. Says he can appear as an angel of light. He can look really good, but on the inside, he is totally opposite of what he can appear like. Sometimes he's very apparent. His works are very apparent. We're even talking about him today in this praise and worship time because he is trying to get people to praise and worship him. He is trying to use all sorts of ways for people to do it, and one way is music. And I think we don't have to go far to even understand it. It's so apparent today. It's not like back in maybe the 50s where we had to have a big controversy over rock and roll and whether it was going to lead everybody to worship the devil. Now it seems harmless in comparison to what's going on now with music, worldly music, and especially music that attracts a lot of young people. Several generations now have been really put in bondage to the enemy through music. Whereas God intended music to be something and praise it to be something to praise him with, to be able to use it for us to draw closer to him, to give him honor and praise, to be in a relationship with him. And what the devil has done with it is he's tried to draw it away to himself. I think it's from the scriptures we just read in Ezekiel and Isaiah. I think it implies that music, he had something to do with music in heaven. And of course, when he was cast to the earth, he still is using music today to draw people to himself. He wants to be like God. He wants to get the praise and worship that God desires for himself. Satan wants it for himself. Let's look at Matthew 4, 8 through 9. Well, he started at the top. He tried to get Jesus to worship him, didn't he? Not just us, but he wanted Jesus to fall down and worship him. He promised him all the splendors of the world, the kingdoms of the world, everything which he had a right to give him. But Jesus said, "Get away from me, Satan. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." That's the kind of God we serve. He is the God that means the best for us. After the devil left him, there's the angels again. The angels came and attended Jesus. So if the devil tried to get Jesus to worship him, we're easy pickings for him compared to Jesus. Jesus was filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, and he was very powerful even when he was in a human body, and he just spoke the word. He's our example. So what we need to do is we need to speak the word. And as we're praising him, as we're speaking God's word, we're praising it out into the air, we're letting the enemy know that we're not going to be ignorant of his devices, we're not going to be deceived, we're going to keep praising God no matter what and speaking the word. We know that, as we were talking about the music today, Satan, you know, God says he wants worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, Satan wants dishonest worshipers, not truthful worshipers. He wants dishonest worshipers that will worship him in deceit and evil, darkness, sensuality, vulgarity. He's still using music to do that. So he's just the opposite of what God wants. We just read all those scriptures that have a picture of what's going on in heaven. Look at the purity of that. As we were reading, the different ones of you were reading the word, it's just like I just wanted to stand here and just listen, let the word just flow over me about multitudes in heaven praising God, angels praising God, the light and the glory surrounding him, and then the darkness that's surrounding Satan. It's a total opposite. It's opposite kingdom. So it's important, the Bible says, for us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, what he wants to do. He's going to try to draw us to worship him. We're supposed to be worshiping God and praising him, but we need to be alert to what the enemy is going to try to do, even if we're not a teenager anymore, and we're not listening to, you know, Marilyn Manson or, you know, whomever, Nine Inch Nails or whomever. He's still going to try to use something else in our lives for us to worship him. But that is a huge, huge bondage that draws young people in because of the blatancy of the darkness, and it enslaves people to drugs. We all know this. I'm not telling us anything that we don't already know, but we've seen it, and we've seen it in young people that we've known. Perhaps some of us have come out of that lifestyle. I know that, speaking of Marilyn Manson, one of the tours that he had was the Antichrist tour. It's not funny, but I just think about, he was so blatant. I don't even know what he's doing nowadays. Does anybody know if he's still around? All right, music. Okay. I know also the Rolling Stones, for us that are a little bit older, the Rolling Stones had an album called Their Satanic Majesties Request, and then they had a number of songs about the devil. One of them is used by Satanists. Their theme song. And you think the Rolling Stones, you know, well, they've been around a long time drawing people into darkness. They don't even realize it. But see, Satan has promised them the kingdoms of this world. He's promised them glory, riches, honor, and they've fallen into it. Some of them may not know what they're doing. Some really very much know what they're doing, and they have a relationship with Satan. They've been drawn in. It's no longer Elvis Presley that we're talking about. It's great and dreadful darkness that's upon our country and upon the world, because time is short. It's the end times, and the days are drawing to a close. And the Bible says that there's going to be even more sinfulness and darkness. I wanted to refer to the book here. Those of you that read the first chapter, how many of you read the first chapter? The story in here that Kenneth Hagin Jr. uses about Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, where they send out the praise and worshipers, the singers went out ahead of the huge army, all the men in armor, just the singers went out, with their instruments went out to praise, and God turned Moab and Ammon against each other, and then they destroyed each other, because God had told them they weren't going to have to go out and fight the battle. So I'm not going to read it, because I know you guys have already read that in the book. But verse 22 says, when they began to sing and praise God for the beauty of his holiness. Think about that. That's another beautiful picture of what praise and worship to God is. It's not darkness and vulgarity and sensuality. It's praising God for the beauty and the splendor of his holiness. That's when God caused their enemies to turn on each other, destroy each other, and they never even had to fight the battle. What a picture of spiritual warfare that is. Praising God in spiritual warfare. Well, we've talked about our enemy, the devil, the Satan, the adversary, the accuser. We can fight him. One of the ways, spiritual warfare, is through praise and worship. He doesn't want to hang around much when all that's coming out of our mouth is praises to God. And that's what we talked also last week about being verbal, about saying it, speaking it out loud, singing it out loud, you know, not just quietly within you, but, you know, silently, but out loud. Fill the air with it. We've seen the high praises, the loud praises, you know, with loud instruments, all those kind of things. They must be important, because God talks about them a lot in the Bible. Let's look at Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 20. Making the most of every opportunity, being wise, not being unwise, because the days are evil. That's very, very true of the days that we live in, isn't it? Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't let something like drinking or drugs or some sort of outside influence control you. The Holy Spirit of God is where we should be living. We should be living in his presence. Let's be filled with him. Let's be filled with the Spirit of God. And then what's going to come out of that? We're going to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And spiritual songs are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a picture of a beautiful, beautiful life. I wanted to share something that I thought was... it's a story. It's something that happened to my husband before he became a Christian. And I think it illustrates a lot of what we're talking about spiritual warfare. Now, it happened to him before he was a Christian. It happened at the time that the movie The Exorcist came out. I've not seen the movie. I don't know if some of you have. Don't want to bring up any bad memories. But it came out in 1973. He did not know the Lord. And he and a friend used to make amateur films. So they went to see The Exorcist. They'd heard about it. And they thought, well, we want to see how they do all those things in it. After they saw it once, they were so horrified, and people around them were, you know, throwing up and leaving and screaming. All these things were happening. After the very end of it, they thought, well, you know, that was really awful. But now that we've seen it, we know we can see it again. Now we can really look and see how the special effects were done. So they went and saw The Exorcist twice in the same day. They felt like, well, okay, we can handle it. But that night, in the middle of the night, when my husband Joe was asleep, and again, this is before I even knew him, before he was even a Christian, he was in bed and he was asleep. In the middle of the night, he woke up and he knew something was in his room. Every hair on his head, on his body, was standing on end. He looked up at the ceiling and he saw a wavy pattern going back and forth across the ceiling. He was absolutely awake. He was very conscious, knew exactly what was going on. He said it was like when you're underwater and you're looking up at the top of the water and it's like a wavy pattern. That was what was going on the ceiling. Being a good Catholic, he began to say the Lord's Prayer. He's not sure if he also said Hail Mary, but he remembered to say the Lord's Prayer. Then he always had his record player next to him. He had a lot of classical music. And he put on a piece, a classical piece of music on, I think it was already on the record player, and he just turned it on. And it turned out to be a cantata, which is a chorus, that a choir singing. And it was by Johann Sebastian Bach. And it was called, it was in German, Christ lag in Todesbaden. Christ lay in the bonds of death. It's an Easter cantata. And it starts out that Jesus Christ was bound, and he lay in the bonds of death. And then it talks about how he resurrected and came back to life. Well, this music is going on. It eventually, the spirit, this evil entity in his room, left with a music that was praising God, mm-hmm. written almost 300 years before, 1707, was when Bach wrote it. That spirit began to leave because he was absolutely terrified. He'd never felt anything like that before. About 2 years later, he accepted the Lord, and at one point he was telling his pastor about this experience that had happened to him. And he said, you know, that sounds like it's right out of the book of Job. So let's turn to Job. Job chapter 4. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Job 4, verses 13 through 16. This is what it says. Amid disquieting dreams in the night, when deep sleep falls on men, fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. A spirit glided past my face, and the hair on my body stood on end. It stopped, but I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes, and I heard a hushed voice. He didn't even know that those verses were in the Bible when this happened to him. And Job is supposed to be, if not the oldest, one of the oldest books in the Bible. It's very an ancient book. And that's from the book of Job. That is very similar to what happened to my husband. If that happened to him, I can imagine that happened to a lot of other people that saw that movie and have seen a lot of other demonic-inspired movies or horror movies. There's a lot of people that need to get set free. And God wants to use each one of us as we're praying for them, praising and worshiping. Judith shared about this young girl that she led to the Lord, prayed the prayer. Joey's prayer of salvation. Joey shared about just praying at lunchtime at his work and how his coworker wanted to do the same thing he was doing. There people are drawn to the spiritual. They can be drawn to the evil spiritual because it's out there and it's blatantly out there these days. It's just right on the offering. It's just, they're offering it just right out in every form imaginable. But people are hungry for the Holy Spirit of God. They don't realize it always, but when they see it in someone else, they're attracted to it. They were attracted, the children were attracted to the praise music that Judith was playing, especially when they're children, because they still have a lot of innocence and purity inside of them. But younger and younger children are being attacked. I teach in a Christian school, and just being in a Christian school doesn't mean that the kids, all the children there are just, you know, pure and untouched. They've been exposed to a lot of things. Through their families, through other friends, through the world, through the internet, through music, through the media, through television, everything imaginable on the street corner. It's just there for everybody to be exposed to. But we have the words of life. We have the Holy Spirit of God within us, and that's what sets the captives free, is the Spirit of God. The last thing I wanted to share before we close is another really just very short story, and it has to do with a missionary that came and spoke at chapel. About 3 years ago at a chapel we have chapel every Wednesday at Alpha Beacon. We have an elementary chapel that Pastor Brad speaks at and he comes with his puppets every month. And we have a high school chapel, and we have missionaries come every so often. And this was a missionary. I don't even remember where he was to, but I remember his story. And he gave it his testimony about how he got saved. His name was Brother Lee. I don't remember if that Lee was his first name or his last name, but I took notes on it, and I found my notes, and I went purposely looking for it last night in the middle of the night because I wanted to share the story with you guys. And I wanted to give it to you today because I felt it was important. He had been invited to church by someone, and he came to church. And he sat down. People began to kind of stand up around him, and the praise and worship team got up and started singing a song. And, you know, he said, okay, I'm here in church, but I'll just sort of sing, or, you know, I'll just sort of be here. I'm not that excited about being here, but he came. And the song that the praise and worship team was doing was a song called In the Name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Who can tell what God can do? What he said in his word, he'll do for you. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Well, they sang it. He heard it. And he was just kind of tuned out. He thought, oh, I'm just going to watch the praise and worship people praise and people singing around him. And they sang it again, and they sang it again, and they sang it again, and they sang it. Same song. They sang it over and over and over again. It's kind of like, don't they know any other songs than this? Think about the words. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Who can tell what God will do? Well, what he says in his word, he'll do for you. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. They sang it, and they sang it again, and they sang it again. They sang it for 20 minutes, the same song. They sang it for 30 minutes, the same song. By the time they sung it for 40 minutes, his body just started moving. He started tapping his foot. It took 40 minutes of it before he started tapping his foot. But remember, it was a song that was anointed by God, was praise and worship, people sang, was filling the church over and over and over again. He never heard anything like it. You know, after you get over the initial shock of someone singing the same song for 40 minutes, you realize that there's something going on spiritual, and that's what happened to him. He said as he was tapping his foot, he closed his eyes, and he said the power of the Lord fell on him, and he said joy of salvation welled up within his heart. And he was a new creature in Christ Jesus. He accepted Jesus that minute. Through praise and worship. The same song. It didn't have to be 5 songs or 10 songs. It didn't have to be 5 or 10 minutes of prayer. It was 45 minutes of the same song. And it got a hold of him. And the Spirit of God got a hold of him. And he became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And eventually God led him to go to the mission field. And he's a missionary leading people to the Lord today. That's the power of praise and worship to God. It's been ordained by God. It's what he wants us to do. He wants us to fill our lives with it. Fill our lives with it. So, we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.